And if I stay in it for 5 years, I'll never exhaust all that could be said. It's when you're speaking of the Father and the Son relationship, that's what it's all about. The greatest verse in the Bible talks about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what it's all about. This passage, speaking here in John chapter 14 to down to verse number 10, it speaks of how the works that Jesus did, these works are the miraculous, wondrous works of miracles that he performed, and how they affect his relationship, showing his sonship, and showing his will towards the Father. It's a very special passage if you kind of sit on it for a while. It all begins in chapter, in the first verse of this chapter. It talks about how, let not your heart be troubled, believe also in God, believe also, you believe in the Father, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. Have faith in me. Trust me. And it sets the whole theme for this chapter. What Jesus is trying to get people to do, to realize what they need to do to honor God, to honor the Father, and to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to use you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to use you. You'll see that in this passage. He has a desire to instill within you the power to do things that would magnify the ministry and give glory to the Father. And so you've got kind of the theme of what is the aim and the goal here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wanting you to have faith in him, that he's of the Father, he's with the Father, they're one in the Spirit, one in the Trinity. And so you have a ministry that Jesus has, and he wants to magnify the work of Father, and that the Father be glorified. I believe that you see that over in verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want things in my life and the ministry, he said, that would call and bring glory unto the Father. And so he calls these things. Notice here in verse number 11, believe me. Isn't that what the whole thing starts out with? You believe in the Father, you believe in God, believe also in me. Is that the first verse? Now back at 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe that. Believe that as a fact. I want you to trust that that's the truth. I want you to realize the oneness we have together. I want you to realize how much I love my Father. The Father loves me. And I want to please the Father. The Bible talks about that Jesus set about always to please the Father. And so he's given us here some examples of how you can help him, how you can be involved in giving glory to his Father. He loved the Father, praised the Father, and wanted to bring glory to the Father. And so he's going to look to you for help in doing that. That's hard to believe, ain't it? Hard to believe that you and I could be involved some way in this thing of Jesus magnifying the Father, glorifying the Father. Well, let's keep going. Notice it says here in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else. Notice it says, if that's hard for you to believe, if that's difficult some way, he said here, believe me, you got it back again, for the very work's sake. The very work's sake. Believe me, for the very work's sake. Now these works are wonderful, miraculous, glorious works of miracles that Jesus did. This is what he's calling works. They're the miraculous works of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, like feeding the 5,000, feeding the 10,000, healing the blind, healing the lepers. I'm saying that is the wondrous, glorious works that he was doing. It was the power of God and manifested in these healings and in these other experiences of feeding people, the 5,000, 10,000. All these are the works that he does, and they're miraculous works. And he wants to show how he's united with the Father. He wants to be recognized that this thing of his unity and oneness is consistent with God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost all working together. He'll deal with the power of God. All of it involves the Holy Spirit of God, involves the Lord Jesus, and involves the Heavenly Father in unity and oneness. He tells in verse number 12. Now here's one of the keys you want to look at. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He says, "Believe me for the very work's sake." And then he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now he's going to the human side, going to his servants, going to the saints of God, going to people that are believers, people that are saved. He that believeth on me, the person that trusts me is their Messiah. The one that trusts me is their Savior. The person that believes that I'm the Son of God, sent from God, given by God for the redemption of mankind. And so he that believeth on me, notice he says, the works that I do, all these things that I can't begin to name all, couldn't begin to go down the list of all the miracles he performed. But it says here, he says, the works, believe me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now he's speaking of people, not special elect people, not just disciples. He's speaking of every person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everyone that has trusted him, believed him, has been made a son of God, a servant of God, a child of God, in the family of God, united with God. And so every one of them, notice it says here, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, preacher, that's pretty far-fetched. I don't know whether I quite see that or understand that. The works that he did, he said, notice he says, shall I do, he'll do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Of course, when he speaks on him leaving, we go over the rest of the chapter and it talks about him in, down verse number 16 and 17, talks about sending the Holy Ghost of God. And so when he speaks of going to the Father, that's when the Holy Spirit of God is going to be brought. I'll give you another comforter. So he's saying that the person that believes in him, that surely trusts him, will be endowed with the same power and even more so. Well, that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? He said he'll do better than I did. Now, see what Jesus said. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. They're going to do greater works. Now, I know that that's hard to fathom in our day. It really is. when you're talking about Christians doing miraculous works, miracles, performing miracles, even beyond what Jesus did. I don't know, I haven't seen nothing like that. Well, let me just, you got to keep the Bible, as I always say, together where it fits. And there was a time when the Holy Spirit of God came in the book of Acts, and on down through the years. I don't know. Well, you start right out. You start right out in Acts chapter 2, and you have Peter preaching, and 3,000 get saved. Now, I don't believe that ever was a time when Jesus preached and 3,000 got saved. It doesn't show it. It doesn't tell it. It never refers to that many people being saved. He fed 5,000, fed 4,000. It doesn't say that he was converted. There was a time when it was 600 that gathered, that could be gathered together, 600, that would give reference or witness of his resurrection, but it was only 600. But when Peter preached, 5,000 got saved. And it wasn't a few days later, another 3,000 or 4,000 were saved. And so I'm saying to you, because of the day we're living in, I hope this comes across clear enough. You follow the prophecies of the Bible. It tells you your timetable. And we're not in these days that old farmers used to call them heydays or great days. And we're not in those days. We're in the days, if you follow prophecy, and you all know things have changed. Churches ain't like they used to be years ago. They're not like they were 30 years ago. They've changed. If you go back in the book of Acts, you won't see anybody that Jesus did, healed, that he just walked by them and his shadow healed them. You won't find that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find him, people being healed that way. But you'll find where the Apostle Paul and Peter just walked by and their shadow cast on a person and they were healed. Greater works than I did, he said, they're going to do. I'm saying to you, now we're living in a day of apostasy and you're not seeing this miraculous work that continued on for years. For years. I'm not talking about just book of Acts. I'm saying you can get back in history. I try to read history and everything about the church, where doctrines were founded. In fact, that doctrine I mentioned a minute ago, the father of that doctrine is Augustine. He's the one that gave the interpretation of Romans 7. He's the one that gave the belief or the lie that we have an Adamic nature. I'm saying that was back then. But here now, can I say to you that we don't have a lot of miracles we're seeing. We're in a time of apostasy. But it wasn't back much more than a couple hundred years, and you could have heard of great revivals. When Finney preached, I mean, they were many enemies of Charles Finney. When Finney preached, and they all have to agree it. I mean, they tried, they followed him. They checked his converts out. And when Finney preached, 85% of the people that were converted under Finney lived for the Lord Jesus Christ to the end of their life. You won't see that percentage anywhere today. But I'm saying back there, there was revivals. There was revivals in England. There was revivals in the Hermes Islands. There were revivals all over this world. There were revivals in China. There was revivals in all your countries down around. Great revivals. I mean, thousands of people being saved. But you don't see that today. But I'm saying, when you start talking about in this comparison of Jesus said here, you'll do greater. You'll do better than I did. You'll do more than I did. And so I'm saying to you, there was exactly that truth that come out. My, the miracles that happened in the book of Acts, the miracles that happened in the years following, right up, I'd have to say within probably the last 100 years, we've had many miracles in this church. Many miracles. I couldn't name all of them here this morning. The very property you're sitting on. It was 7 acres. And I think they wanted $65,000 for it. That's back when the stuff was a little cheaper. And I give them $10 to hold it for me. I come back bigger next day. I brought 100. I says, you hold that for me till I get the bank to approve this. Every banker I went to said, you're not an organized church. You're not a part of a denomination. You're an independent. You don't have any real track record of the finances coming in. Nothing guaranteed. I can't give it to you. No bank would even try us. Not even trust us. I went back to my second or third time, and I said to him, look, the lady of the house was making the business deal. She said, I'm going to give you one more week, and I'm going to make this thing, you know, where we'll no longer sell the place. She says, we've been thinking we might stay here. I had a week, and every bank was saying no. I went to one more bank. I went to the same bank, I went there a couple times down there in Waynesboro, and there was a guy in there who'd listen to me. And I said, look, I'll personally sign my name and guarantee that we'll pay this back. He says, I don't know. He says, I'll give it a try. He says, I got to send it off Richmond, see what they say. He called me 2 days later and he says, we got to go. They'll try you. And I get down, the lawyer's got it all set up. All I got to do is have the trustee sign. Banker's sitting in there. And the trustees are outside. Somebody told the trustees, if this thing fails, y'all got to pay the bill. Somebody told them that. So I told the banker, I said, man, we got problems. They're hesitant about signing. I said, you're going to need to go out and talk to them, tell them the way it really is. And so, good night. You got a piece of property, there's more to stand for the $65,000. And especially with things being built around it. Anyway, he went out and talked to them, and so finally the trustees agreed to sign, and we purchased this property. But everything here has been a miracle. The property where I'm standing right here belonged to a man that told me, he says, move the building. I ain't going to sell nothing to you. And the property line was right here. It was 3 foot behind where this wall, the original wall was his property line. You could hardly get between this property line. It was almost against the back of the church. And he said, no way, no way. But God provided a way, and we was able to purchase this property. Then finally, what happened? The church had a fire. The guy started feeling sorry for us. And I approached him again. He said, call the lawyers and send trusteeship. He said, they'll give you 2 weeks to get it. And if you remember, we raised the money, got this property in 2 weeks, signed, sealed. It's just unreal how fast it went, how perfect it went. Had it surveyed, had it purchased, the money settled, everything signed and sealed within 2 weeks. And that's something you don't normally do anywhere. But I'm just saying, miracle after miracle, I don't know how many miracles we've seen praying for different people. God's still performing miracles. But I'm saying to you, that wave of the miraculous excelling way beyond even what Jesus did happened. It really happened. I mean, back in those days of Acts and on following through, the mighty revivals, the great revivals of Wesley and Whitfield, they'd say that Whitfield would come into a town And he said, you'd see a cloud of dust start to hover over the town where the horse and buggies would come in from every direction to hear Whitfield preach. And he says, 2 weeks later, here would come Wesley. Says, here it comes again. Those people just crowded in to hear those two men. And even though they looked like they were totally different in their doctrines, they weren't in salvation. And there was thousands saved under Whitfield and Wesley down through those wonderful revivals. And if you follow the history of revivals in this country, you wouldn't believe the ones that just broke out and hundreds would be saved. I'm saying God did many miracles even in the last 100 years, many miracles. And so way beyond even what we could even think. I'm saying there's been a great harvest of souls saved down through the years. We're seeing today very, very few, if any, are getting saved. Well, we're in a different time of prophecy. We're at a time of when the Bible says, it ain't saying you're going to have a lot of people getting saved. When you compare this day, like God did, when you compare this day to Noah's day, how many was getting saved in Noah's day? How many got saved in Lot's day? Now, that's the two comparisons. As in the day of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. As in the day of Lot, so will it be the coming of the Son of Man. How many people were saved in those times? Zip. None. I'm telling you, it gets down to that. You're seeing it in our day. Less and less and less people are being saved because of this is the day of apostasy. This is the day of the great falling away. This is the day when of such confused doctrines, it's so difficult for people to even know what salvation is. I'm saying they have so wrested the scriptures, they've so distorted the truth about salvation that millions of people are trusting a false salvation. Millions of people. They just don't know their Bible. How many people do you find that really knows what it means to walk in the Spirit, to have the Spirit of God speak to your heart and open the Word of God to your heart and assure you that you are ready for heaven, that you know God and you can have peace in your heart and know with a certainty that you're going to heaven? How many do you find that nowadays? How many people do you hear saying, boy, God really answered that prayer? I mean, it isn't something that just happened like it did. It was a miraculous work of God in healing somebody. Brother Gregory sat back there. I was in the room with Beverly. Had a respirator on. I mean, what'd they say? They couldn't do no more. Isn't that what they said? Said it was over. They can't do no more. They was about ready to pull it. Am I telling the truth? He was about ready to pull it. He was done. All of a sudden, he starts healing. That's the reason I liked it like the way it happened, is because they couldn't get any praise for it. They were done. They were quitting. They were going to give up on him. They were going to pull the tomb. They were finished. They said he couldn't do no more. He can't stay on this thing any longer. It's finished. So felt like he needed got something to eat. The Lord touched it. I was there. And I mean, just a miracle of God doing a work in his life. He still performs miracles. Amen. If people believe. And so that's what you see here. As verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, the miraculous, wondrous works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, look to the next verse. Verse number 13. Now, my Bible, the page changes, and I don't like that, especially this verse. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, here he's saying he's going to use you. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe his word, you believe that he will, not just that he can, but you believe he will do what you ask. You're sure that you have the will of God, and you believe without a doubt. You don't go around doubting and faithless and say, I hope he does it. No. You got the man that owned the orphanages over in England. He set the table. Here he's got all his kids sitting at the table. There's no food on the table. What does he do? He prays. Father, I pray and bless this food. I guess that kind of sounds funny to the kids. They got all empty plates and nothing out in front of them. And he's thanking God for the food. He knows it's going to come. It's got to come. Why? Because he prayed, he believed. He didn't doubt. He didn't question it. He didn't try to do it himself. He would not ask anybody for anything. It's just the way he felt that he wanted to be, to where his full trust was in the Lord Jesus Christ, answered prayer. I think one day the milkman broke down out front and going by or something, and he brought in and he said, would you take some of this milk? Yeah, we'll take it. God sent it. Other people bring it in, food, different things, you know. God performs miracles. And he does it through God's people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole verse is about. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You believe in Jesus can empower you through the Holy Spirit of God to answer prayer, to have miracles in our day. He said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. He's going to use you. Whatsoever you do in his name is going to bring glory unto the Father. Through who? Through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saved you, the one that transformed you, the one that enabled you through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm saying that's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, that we might do the works of God. Every person that gets truly born again is a miracle. It's a miracle. Why? Because it's done in a miraculous way through the Holy Ghost of God. It's through the Holy Spirit of God that you're drawn, and the Holy Spirit of God that you're birthed into the family of God. You're regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God. And what does he do? He works in you. He works in you to spread the seed. He works in you as an example that would cause people to want what you have. Your light so shine that it may... What's it supposed to do? Let your light so shine that it... Who's it supposed to do? Glorify your Father, which is... Is that what it says? That's what Jesus is talking about. Your spirit-filled life would be a testimony to the lost. It'd be a drawing power. And God would get the glory. God the Father that sent his Son. Amen. And he sent him down there because he wanted to see him an offering made
that whereby they can get saved through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here are these people that believed, truly believed that the Lord Jesus Christ do this miraculous work of bringing people in and the Holy Ghost of God calling them and convicting them and troubling them, bringing salvation. I'm saying it's a wondrous work of God in working in the lives of people, sowing and watering, being a testimony of God's grace, people seeing. If you just, would you reason with me in just a second? If people of this world didn't believe in God answering prayer, why do they ask Christians to pray? Don't they do that? Isn't it surprising how they'll ask you? Would you pray for so-and-so? Would you pray for so-and-so? Would you pray for so-and-so? Why? They believe there's power in prayer of the saints of God. When the saints are living right, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm saying it works. And as it works, it glorifies God. It brings God the Father glory through his Son that he sent, that redeemed man from his lost estate, and give him the power of God to stand and to teach and to call and to be an example and to shed light on this wicked world around us. People don't pay much attention to what's said. Really, the lost people, the main thing they look at is if you're really different. If there's something about you, I told you that one preacher looked back at me when Brother Sutton preached down here in Carolina, and he looked back at me and he says, Brother Sutton finished the message, and this preacher looked back at me and he says, still got the touch of God, ain't he? I said, yeah, he's still got the touch of God. That's what they're looking for, the Holy Spirit of God in you, the presence of the power of God. You hear me, boy, he gets his prayers answered. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, Barbara gets her prayers answered. She prays for people, prays for things, and God answers prayer. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. And it's got to be things that he agrees with. It's got to be something that'll bring glory to the Father. It's got to be something that he can bless and do. He's not going to do just anything. It's got to be something that's in the realm of godliness, holiness, righteousness. It's got to be in there. If you know you have the petition, if you know you have the will of God, you know you have the petition that you asked for, why, you can shout the victory. 1 John says you know that you're going to get it. You're going to get it. If you ask in his name, you ask in his will, you ask and really believe him. Isn't that what this whole passage is about? Believe me, believe me, believe in me all the way through it. When you believe the Son, James says, it gets so bad, he says, you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. Christians ought to be the example of the miraculous, mighty work of the Holy Spirit of God in answering prayer. It ought to be. They ought to be able to trust us. They ought to be able to run to us and say, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. Of course, you and I need to remind them, I can't pray for somebody, God, to do something that he's really wanting to do just the opposite. We all think that God ought to just heal everybody. No, there's some people that's suffering for the cause of Christ. Some people, their suffering has brought more people to God than if they'd have been healthy. Got more attention. It isn't always that everything can be good and great and all everything go right. It's God's will that we desire. Thy will be done. If we believe that and we believe he's right, we believe he spoke to our heart and confirmed that's his will, pray without ceasing. Keep crying unto God. Did Elijah have to pray more than once? Did you ever, was it seven times? And his servant went out, he said, "You see anything?" He says, "Yeah, little cloud, looked like about the size of a hand." He says, "Start running." I love the life of Elijah. And I listened to brother preaching on it. It was good. Terry Norris preaching on it. It was good. It'll help you. Some of those messages will really help you. Shall we stand? Who's the world going to go to? To determine or to see or to understand that there is a hope for them. Where are they going to go? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness is on them. Neither can he know them because they're spiritual discerned. He needs an example. He needs an example that's so powerful, it looks like they're just a walking miracle themselves. You and I are all the world has to learn about the power of God, the transformation he does, the eternal work he does in your life. You and I are the only one. They got to see an example of God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. They got to see you. I remember the man who owned a big business up here. You've heard me say it different times. He says, "Pete Brown goes to your church?" I said, "Yeah, he sure does, still does. Great guy." He said, "Boy, it really changed him, didn't it?" I said, "Yep, really changed him." That's what they're looking for. That's what they have to see. The salvation is real. Salvation really works. Salvation transforms a person. Salvation brings miraculous things in their life. It will in your life. If you do what he asks. Says you believe in the Father, believe also in me. Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. He shall direct thy path. Well, Brother Underwood, you sing that song. Faith in God can move the mighty mountains. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory. Father, in Jesus' name, as we depart, go our separate ways, as we say, may the Holy Spirit of God
May you whisper in our minds and hearts, I want to use you. I want to make you an example of the miraculous work of God. I want to show what that wonderful transforming power of the Holy Spirit of God through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Won't you yield as an instrument unto righteousness, a vessel unto honor, a servant that he could use to glorify God? Help us to say, I'm willing to do thy will. And Lord, trust him and believe him and walk with him and do as he says. As the old missionary said, we're to attempt great things. And then he said, show your faith, expect great things. May that be the desire of our life, to be used by God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You are dismissed.